Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
To the hip hop, a hibby to the hibby, you get the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Good evening, sexies.
Gentlemen, in each other's arms once again. It's a new week. We've got some new football stuff to talk about, don't we, gentlemen?
We do. Did you hear Pete taking off with Ramble Airways there?
I did.
It's the future.
I'm still scared of that noise because it reminds me of the Hitman video game. You've been spotted. Get out.
Oh, right.
Hitman.
One for the computer game fans,
yeah.
Of which we know there'll be some.
Pete, is it acceptable to say computer game, or do you say video game?
No, it is. Video games. I've always gone with computer games.
I say computer games, but I'm paranoid.
I insist on using a joystick as well.
That's a separate issue, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah. You've been told about that.
All right, then. Now, here's a question for you all. If you were the best man for a referee of your choice, what would you arrange for the stag do? This is, of course, in light of certain referees going to certain places in Spain and having a little bit of a pissy up, we think.
Cards before marbs.
Perfect.
There goes my answer.
It's an occupational hazard, Spelzy.
Sorry, mate.
Jim just came up with that.
Excellent. There we are. Carry on, Jim. You go first. Got a feeling you won't be winning the point.
At least you've got, given Pete's track record, you've got about another 3 or 4 minutes to think of another one.
Could be 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, it could be.
Or you could just give yourself the points anyway, like the maniac despot that you are.
Stop giving away the future.
Yeah, sorry. So what I think, first of all, we probably need to discuss that we're all probably going to choose Mike Dean. And if that happens, that's fine. All right?
Mine's not Mike Dean.
Oh, great.
No. Mine's not Mike Dean.
I think I'm probably going to have the same one as yours, Luke.
Oh, well, I'm first, so up yours.
No.
Like being Marcus.
Yeah.
So I'd go for Mike Dean, and I'd do sort of fairly traditional stag do stuff, but with a Mike Dean sort of lilt. So there'd be go-karting, but I'd allow him to be like the safety car, so he could just sort of hover in front of everyone going, no, like booking anyone that tries
with
to take...
With a yellow flag.
With a yellow flag, absolutely. Anyone that tries to go past him. And after that, everyone would go out for yards of ale, but he'd sort of like... He'd almost be like the lino on that one. He'd run the line.
He'd pace out the yards, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he'd decide who's finished it first, and I don't know, somehow come up with a system that means you can be offside while drinking in some way, and then punish those that fail. His improvised system.
Spraying vanishing spray into people's drinks on the form.
Yeah. No, basically, but
I don't think he'd be that irresponsible, would he?
When he puts a pint down, he goes to the bar, gets a random wheel, or someone gets a pint in and puts it on the table, and he does the vanishing spray around the pint. That's where your pint is. Don't move it from there.
Yeah, not allowed to deviate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Choose a coaster, Mike. No.
I reckon that stag weekend they went on, Anthony Taylor's, I think it was, wasn't it? Kevin Friend was there. I'm sure we'll come on to that in a minute. I reckon that probably involved some sort of vanishing spray.
Must
have been a little referee-based
gag.
Did you
spray him with vanishing spray, then he can
disappear.
Get in for free?
Yeah. I saw Michael Oliver, who ran out of vanishing spray this weekend?
Oh, did he, right?
Touch line and get another one? I'm just saying, is it a coincidence?
Yeah.
They had a similar thing on the flight back from China, which I've never seen before. They let off like a vanishing kind of spray into the air to kill any bugs.
Right,
I've never seen that before. I think it's only Chinese flights, because obviously the bird flu and stuff.
Michael Oliver there?
Michael Oliver was spraying at the air. Drunk as a lord, he was. Come on, lads! Yeah. Stag do!
Excellent. That's my answer.
All right, like it. Luke.
I would go with Pierluigi Collina.
Oh!
Yeah, and I'll take him to the Crystal... I'll take him to the Crystal Maze.
Like it very much so. But obviously you bring him out of retirement, because he's retired.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'd dress him up as Richard O'Brien.
Of course you would.
Because it would be perfect fit. Him in the suit and everything. And that's basically the extent of it.
I mean, you're tickling my points bone, aren't you?
He used to be able to do Crystal Maze in Southampton. But I might have mentioned this before, but the final round... I don't know why.
Somebody drowned.
No, it must have been health and safety or something. But no one's drowned, Pete. You instead of catching the silver and gold tokens, you had to punch the lights off as quick as you could. It was really underwhelming.
Surely at the end, it would be red and yellow cards.
Exactly.
Well, there's a two-hour version of it now, so you could actually take him to do it.
Apparently the one in London's a lot better. There's one in London, I think, semi-permanently.
Have you done it? Yeah, surprisingly good.
Collina there, or...?
No, they have different characters that are kind of just made up. There's like a cool 90s dude. There's a goth.
Out-of-work actors, basically.
Well, working actors.
By definition.
Yeah. They're very good, actually.
I'd like to go. I would.
Mm. Let's all
Pierluigi Collina. But the thing is, though, if you have him as O'Brien, aren't you basically saying, here you go, Pierluigi, you've got to improvise a very, very difficult job on your own stag do to entertain us.
There's always forfeits on stag do, don't there?
I guess so.
I've heard of worse
just
forfeits.
Start with a massive
that.
One.
Yeah.
Jim, Richard O'Brien, Pierluigi Collina. Well, I don't know what you're...
Yeah, the leopard print jacket.
Not all bald men are the same. We told you this.
Oh, I'll be a judge of that.
Okay.
Go on, Peter.
Yes.
I go with Clattenburg. I'd take him to the Postal Museum that's opening later this year.
All right.
So you could lick away on them stamps. Lick, lick, lick. Doing that licky thing.
Oh,
lick,
okay,
lick,
yeah, get it.
I got that before.
I'd show him the tunnel and then treat him to lick a whole... stack of penny blacks or penny red.
Yeah, they're
with
really his
weird reptilian tongue.
Yeah, they're really expensive.
Yeah,
do you want to, it's a stag do. You know,
yeah, it's a stag do. Yeah, push out the boat.
Do you want to explain that to people who aren't used to being in your company and won't necessarily make the leap that you've made?
Mark Clattenburg once did a funny licky mouth that everyone knows.
It was in the Champions League final.
It was in the Champions League final.
You remember he's also a referee, right?
Yes.
Again, I'm trying to make it sure that Pete remembers.
And he's a referee. And the Postal Museum involves a lot of, well, stamps.
But I don't think...
I mean, it's not the main feature. No, the main feature is the underground postal train.
Statue. All I'm saying is, if you go to the Postal Museum and they've got a load of stamps there, the last thing they want is you to be licking them.
I think that if it's Mark Clattenburg...
Yeah, hijinks, mate. Stag do hijinks.
Yeah.
Great sense of fun. What I would say is, as Pete, he probably worked backwards, he probably...
You're not a security guard in the Postal Museum.
No, but I'm just saying...
It's not even open. Stop trying to put yourself in the shop window.
Referees are the type of people who would respect the process. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He's moving abroad soon, he won't care. I just think that Pete started off with Clattenburg, went for the licky tonguey business, and I thought... Ooh, where's this going to go? I was very pleased that he went for the...
It was a weight off all our minds.
When I was a kid, I used to collect stamps.
Here we go. Oh, again. Again, relieved.
Settling. And femurs.
Pete's childhood.
And to mount them into the books, you use a tiny little kind of... like a thin... sort of plasticky piece of paper.
Okay, yeah.
Like a kind of adhesive sticker that you have to lick. So you could lick them and mount his own.
Have you still got your collection?
No.
Okay, why not?
I'm an ex-philatelist. I don't know.
Okay.
Right.
I also had a lot of coins that my dad collected when he was in the Navy, but my mum just threw them out.
Okay. Mm. That's not you. I mean, that's your dad being a collector, not you, isn't it?
Somebody emailed in this week and said that Electric Six, the band that did Gay Bar, did a whole song about Hartlepool. I've had a listen. It's all about Hartlepool.
Is it?
Is that right?
Inexplicably.
Where are they from?
They're from Detroit.
Yeah, they're American,
I thought they were American. Yeah.
Well.
Did you hear I said Detroit then?
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
Can I answer?
Yeah, your answer, Mark.
Well, okay, edit, mate. Hold the edit. Yeah. I haven't got the point.
I've
see
done
you there.
It, done it
well,
for
I've
you.
Come up with another answer.
Oh, have you now?
I would take Paul Durkin on a stag do, and I'd handcuff Paul Skulls to him.
Why?
It's a bit of a laugh, isn't it? Like father and son.
Okay.
Well, how would you have access to Paul Skulls?
Oh, it's an opening question.
It's not like... You're is it like Play with a Legend?
Stamps.
You got for a grand.
There's no way Paul Skulls doesn't really do anything.
No.
And there's no way you are getting a man out of the house by saying, do you want to come to Paul Durkin's stag do?
I would love to see you attempt to do that, because they're not going to be up for it.
No.
It would be great. Luke's got the point.
Thank you very much.
Crystal Maze.
You could have
the Crystal Maze.
You could have done Paul Alcock and worked in some Paolo Di Canio type vibe into it.
Well,
you could have done that, you know. Anyway, you had your chance now. I've got the point.
Take him on the swings.
Cannot go.
He likes to be pushed.
Let's go to the Premier League, Peter. All right. Former Newcastle man Andros Townsend scored a lovely goal for Crystal Palace.
Nice to see him with a smile on his face.
It's a big uphill task now for West Brom. Yeah, as I put out there on Twitter, thank you very much for liking that
tweet. Is it mathematically possible?
Of course it's mathematically possible, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's a poor result. They've missed a golden opportunity there.
not a golden opportunity, Margus.
It was a golden opportunity to move within to 8 points from a Champions League spot.
You're in the Crystal Dome and you've got 5 seconds.
See, the thing is, people say, oh, what are you talking about? It's true. Had the results gone the way I said, they would have been 8 points off a Champions League.
Even you don't believe
that. Take that away from you.
Thank you, Jim.
It's statistically almost correct.
As well, it seems like it doesn't matter what Man United do, they'll be sixth.
Yeah, right. So, well, they did drop points.
But seemingly they're never going to move out of sixth regardless of the results.
Do you guys know how many days Man United have been sixth? I know exactly how many days.
10.
Thinking about it, it might not be exactly, because I think the article might be a couple of days old. But give or take
2 days.
They've been sixth for 138 days.
That is insane.
Yeah, I think that must be some sort of record.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. But it was a great win for Palace. A much needed win for Palace. Sacco has started the last two games for them. 2 clean sheets. Is it a coincidence, Jim?
You would say just probably say no. Not.
I don't think it's a coincidence that West Brom hit 40 points and then just completely piled in.
Maybe they're all on Kevin Friend's, Anthony Taylor's stag do as well.
Yeah, maybe they were.
I think that's a fair point, actually. 40 points, right, we're up.
Yeah.
And we're in the top half. Oh, mate, we've got loads of time to play with.
Well, Tony Pulis was asked about that, and he sort of said, we prepared the same as we always do, and psychologically the players seem fine, and, they're human beings, they have an off day type thing. But it was a surprising result.
Not least
for our man in the hot seat, Ed Gibson, who didn't have a winning bet of the week, so we need a new person for that, because he backed a West Brom win. But the only other teams that have won at the Hawthorns in the league this season are Manchester United, Manchester City and Everton. It's been a real fortress for West Brom.
It's
a hugely surprising result. And I thought Zaha played well, obviously took his goal well. He actually took his goal very well.
He did. It was really good.
He took it in a way where I think it was Chris Brunt actually covering. just didn't want to make a tackle. That sort of power chest to control it. Thought, I'm in the penalty area.
It's too quick.
take me down if you want. And he just didn't want to. And then Zaha was able to put it away.
Yeah. And talking of power chests and that kind of vibe, Palace didn't get bullied by West Brom.
No.
And West Brom have done that to teams, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I think I wonder if this is obviously Allardyce's style starting to settle in the minds and muscle memory of the Palace players, because I think, you know, Palace did look demoralised, didn't they, under Pardew? And I wonder if
for periods under Allardyce they have.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wonder if sort of like the new manager bounce can be sort of offset by the fact that you know it takes a bit of time to lift yourself up, and that's why we're kind of starting to see that happen now. But yeah, they were great, and what a goal from Townsend as well. It's a perfect example of the work ethic that Allardyce has instilled in them, that he won it effectively on the edge of his own box, was then shrugged off the defender and just forced it in.
He did.
They should be down there. They've got such a decent. Yeah,
absolutely. The players are too good for them to be where they are. And you often hear that about teams, but it's been profoundly true of Palace.
The concentration of Townsend, as you say, like it showed when he scored. He didn't celebrate. He just fell on the floor because he was down.
Which was quite... What I liked about the goal was just before that, he had a chance, a golden opportunity to put it 2-0. And it was saved well by Foster. And then, as Jim said, he essentially ran the whole length of the field, showed good strength to fend off the West Brom.
He uses both feet very well.
He does, and we did in that instance. It was a fantastic result for them, hugely psychologically beneficial for them too. I actually thought Craig Dawson was a bit disappointing. He played really well against Bournemouth. He played so well against Bournemouth, I really noticed it, which is rare for a player like Craig Dawson, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But he played Zaha on, I think, played someone on for the first goal, and the second goal he didn't sort of show himself in glory. But
Elliot from Newcastle Uni has emailed in saying, on behalf of all West Bromwich Albion fans, I'd like to politely request you stop talking about us. we're doing absolutely fine until everyone starts noticing that we're having a good season, he says.
Well, we have mentioned them a number of times about their good season, but I think that West Brom, with the pressure that has suddenly been heaped upon them in the last few days, mainly by myself, I just think they buckled.
Yeah.
They thought, we've got a chance.
Small-minded.
We've got a chance to try and get to the Champions League.
We're only 8 points off if we win this.
On a semi-serious note, I do think there is something in that. I do think if you are a team who's used to going under the radar and not being talked about an awful lot, you're not a fashionable side and you're not expected to win anything, and all you're expected is to battle against relegation, and the only way you're part of the wider football conversation is because you're battling against relegation, it would be a bit of a change to have people saying how great you're doing. And it would be, I mean, I personally think that players definitely do read the pages of the newspapers, and despite what they say, I think it might affect them psychologically in some small way.
Look at if they were putting in these performances last season and there was a bigger story in the form of Leicester and stuff like that, you'd think that they'd probably have a better time of it, and they'd probably make an even better fist of it than they're doing this year. If they're having as good a run as this one, and obviously last season, this season the big story is Chelsea running away with the league. Last season Leicester came from nowhere and managed to win it. I think they probably would have had a few more points on the table because people wouldn't be talking quite so much about their performances.
I know what you mean. I see what you're saying.
Well, I think it depends what type of manager you have as well, because clearly someone like Ranieri, when Leicester were doing really, really well, he keeps the place quite relaxed, he's quite jovial, and he keeps the mood light. And that works.
Pulis does not do that.
But when the focus changed to Leicester, they couldn't handle being champions, and they haven't done, and we all know what's happened there. Whereas with West Brom, Pulis is very much, likes to bully teams. You know, sometimes there can be a little bit of a backs to the walls kind of mentality there, and so on and so forth. But you're right, when things are going well, Crystal Palace come along, and everyone said, oh, we should win that.
Yeah,
you should win that. You're firm favourites. This shouldn't be too much of a hassle for you.
Yeah.
It does change the dynamic.
One thing that is also interesting is the relative popularity of Tony Pulis around West Brom. I'm only basing this on anecdotal evidence, but I get the impression he's not actually that popular at West Brom at all. And I read an article a while back where someone was, in my opinion, stupidly saying, oh, Tony Pulis will never be considered for the Arsenal job with Engelies because he's not fashionable. And that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is I shared that with a friend of mine who's a West Brom fan, and he said, yeah, they can have him, as far as I'm concerned. And that's this season.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, so it might be the fact that they don't like the way they play, or the fact that he's a bit competitive and they play four centre-backs and stuff. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So you can't really know that thing unless you're really amongst it as a fan of the club.
What I would say is, and Pulis would very much say this in his defence, I'm sure, and you can't blame him for that. Pulis would sort of say, what do you want?
Mm.
You know, we're battling for Champions League spots.
No,
mate.
Come on.
No, but he would say, we are comfortably top half. We're having a great season. What more realistically do you want?
Isn't it more that, you know, the fans, when they go and see their club, they want to be at least entertained? And I know that that's an incredibly sort of, you know...
subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And also, you know, you've got to be careful what you wish for and sort of appreciate the success you have. But, you know, some people, even if it means their team are winning, aren't necessarily going to want to go along and watch a dour game. And I don't necessarily think West Brom have played that sort of... in that way. I think, you know, they've clearly got a lot about them.
What Tony Pulis delivers is like existential crises at clubs. I mean, at Stoke, he delivered them an existential crisis where they were so consistently normal that they didn't really know what to do. We can't really... I mean, the most we can hope for is to win a cup, which didn't happen for them.
They're close.
Yeah, we can't really do anything else. And he's in danger of delivering that at West Brom now.
Isn't that the most that most teams can hope for, though?
Of course it is.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is there's more of a romanticism, more of a swashbuckling sort of here, thanks for all the memories type thing. If you battle bravely against relegation every season,
yeah, no,
Pulis
right.
is essentially a victim of his own success in that way.
It is,
but I mean, moderate success.
All I'm saying is, the people who support the team will know more about the type of football they play and how boring it is or isn't because they go and watch it. We don't. Yeah. So,
well, and the only person that we've heard from who's a West Brom fan has told us not to talk about West Brom.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, if you're a West Brom fan, then I don't know, get in touch or don't. Perhaps
I imagine at the end of this game, Steve Parrish probably went, Tony, don't forget that check. Yeah,
yeah. Just, I'll catch you afterwards. Yeah, just grab
you can buy me a beer. Start paying it off. This also featured my favourite dive I think I've ever seen. Did you see Salomon Rondon dive and sort of did a sort of bum slide? It was very weird.
I didn't see that, Jim.
Very, very odd.
It was a lunge luge sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
We must check that out. Manchester United dropped points at home to Bournemouth, of course. Kevin Friend came in for some criticism.
Mm.
He was on the stag do. And tennis stag do in Marbella, of course.
I find it hard to believe that referees hang out with each other.
I like it.
Yeah.
I know they have to probably for their job and stuff, but like only at, like AGMs and stuff, presumably.
I wonder if they're so closely monitored that they can't be seen to be sort of corrupt in any way, so they have to hang out with each other in a big house.
Is there a WhatsApp group?
No, almost certainly a WhatsApp group. In fact, I know there is because when I talked to Howard Webb, he told me quite a few things that didn't maybe make it into the interview about people being happy when certain referees did this wrong because they're unpopular and people chatting about it on WhatsApp. So there definitely was. But I remember this story reminded me of someone once told me they saw Rob Stiles. Remember Rob Stiles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He retired as a top level ref in 2009, citing a lack of support from the FA. Essentially, he made loads of really bad decisions, and they were like, "What do you want us to do, Rob?" Yeah. Anyway, he was apparently seen. He's from Portsmouth, Rob Stiles. He's from Waterlooville, just outside Portsmouth, and apparently he was seen smashing the beers back once. I can't remember exactly what year or what era it was, but so apparently he was a bit of a party animal. So maybe they all are.
Well, do you know, it reminds me of that thing Mr. Burley said, commentating, Craig Burley. I forget which game. I think it might have been a Scottish Premier League game.
Very reverential. Burley.
Yeah. Mr. Burley. I couldn't remember his first name. And
it
took me a second.
it's good you say Craig, because it could have been confused with George Burley.
Absolutely.
Yeah, his father.
Keir Burley's husband.
Yeah.
All of the Burleys.
Yeah.
And he said, he was moaning about the referee. Do you remember this? I said this a few years ago on the show. He was moaning about the referee. It was a wonderful moment where he went, oh, blimey, you know, I bet it's a right sourpuss he is or something like that. Cool. Imagine, like, going round to his house on a Saturday night, get his whistles out, give him a little blow. Amazing. He's like really wanted to cane this ref, but clearly he couldn't say what he really wanted to say because he was on live television. So he tried to go down this alleyway of saying he was a bit boring.
Family friendly criticism.
I mean, not just literally just criticise him for his job.
Yeah,
like, his little blow his whistles. Oh, what? Go around your house and manage your team? Is that a thing?
Oh, imagine going around Craig Burley's house on Saturday night, listen to him commentate on Strictly Come Dancing. Pathetic.
Gogglebox.
Yeah. Oh, put your teeth in, Craig.
Kevin Friend, he didn't realise he'd booked Sermon twice.
Yeah, this was
always enjoyable, isn't it, for a neutral?
Apparently, he got a nod from the bench, I believe. Yeah. It took him a couple of minutes to send Sermon off, didn't it?
Yeah. To be fair to me, he had other stuff on.
Yeah, he was trying to fish out the game, but I think, I mean... fine, but at least he's rectified that mistake. Yeah, it's not like he's done a grand pole and he's let him on, stayed on the, kept him on the pitch
I know, but the big news that are coming out of that one, of course, is Ibrahimovic and Tyrone Mings.
Yeah.
They've both been charged with violent conduct. And we think that Mings was a bit unlucky, perhaps.
I think that people have accepted, essentially, without question, that Mings deliberately stamped on Zlatan's sort of side of his head.
I'm not sure it was deliberate.
I don't think it was either.
Having seen it so many times, it's still... really difficult to know, isn't it? Because he does glance over, but it's very difficult to see if he actually glances over enough to see him. And he's got to jump over Rooney anyway.
I would not be stamping on Zlatan Ibrahimovic's head. Yeah. Right. He'd kick your head off. He'd stamp on your head in the air.
He'd elbow you in the face.
Tyrone Mings jumped into his elbow.
Yeah, Tyrone Mings stamps on his head and then tries to headbutt Ibrahimovic's elbow.
That's basically what Zlatan said, isn't it?
I mean, I don't want to jump on the back of referees for no reason. I do think that Kevin Friend, and I've been critical of him in the past, as we all know, nobody's friend and all that. I think he got both the penalty decisions correct. I thought the Man United penalty was a penalty. Yeah, I thought it was definitely a penalty. I mean, if you're gonna jump up, I know it was fairly close, but if you're deliberately gonna make your body as big as you can to block a cross,
yeah, I thought it was,
and it hits you in the hand or the arm. I mean, you deserve everything you get.
Fair to say, he's gained an advantage.
Quite. Exactly, because he stopped the cross. Those two decisions were correct. Mm-hmm. I thought if you look at the Mings thing with the stamp, it wasn't even a stamp, really.
Yeah.
For me, a stamp is an actual stamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like you're stamping
it's
your
not,
feet.
Yeah, landing on someone.
If you look at the context, Mings as a defender is trying to get back as quick as he can. Mm-hmm. He's trying to execute quite a large leap.
Yep.
And he does catch Zlatan, and maybe there's a punishment for that, I don't know. But in terms of a deliberate stamp, because the report today is saying that both of them have been charged with violent conduct, Zlatan's going to get 3 games, which is a stamp. For what he's done, I don't think anyone could question that. But Mings is probably going to get more games. To me, the Zlatan thing was unquestionably a deliberate act. Mm. I don't know you could say the Mings won.
Yeah,
more.
Although I guess if the FA are looking at it and they've come to the conclusion that he meant it, they're basing it on that, aren't they? They're probably not introducing the sort of fudge of did he or didn't he.
I understand
they've got
that.
To make a firm decision.
I understand and accept that, but I think that's erroneous. I don't think you can establish that. I don't think you can. It's not like, you know, if you think of, I don't want to name any players because I don't want to get in trouble legally, but there are players in the past who have stamped. A defender will come in and slide tackle and someone stamped on them.
Yeah, yeah.
That is unquestionably a stamp and they should
like
be punished accordingly. But I don't think it was one.
No, I
and
don't.
So, oh God, just brought the chair. I'm Alex Jones, it's a conspiracy. But anyway, that's just my 10p.
No, I do agree. It was a good point for Bournemouth, though. We can't get away from that. They're down to 10 men, especially. They're 5 points off the relegation zone. A vital point, Jim.
Mm. Absolutely. We were talking a little while ago about how there have been Man United fans who've been quite critical of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And we sort of laughed at it a little bit because he scored a lot of goals. But they said, yeah, but if you watch him every week, he does miss chances he should put away. And the penalty is an obvious example of that. But in the first half as well, he overcomplicated what effectively should have been a sitter and it got away from them. And you can see actually that, you know, there is something to what they're saying to some degree. Obviously, you know, it's not to take anything away from him.
But he had
a really good opportunity to make that easier for them early on.
Of course. And he obviously missed a penalty. But he's also been caught offside board in another playing the Premier League season, I think.
That's particularly infuriating for an older player, I think.
Of course, but if you flip it on its head, you could also argue potentially that that's because he's so relied upon, that he's so much more in focus, that people notice it a lot more. And if you look at, I mean, what seems to be the case now in the Premier League is that players are such athletes these days. If they choose to go bank of four and a bank of five or two banks of four, like Bournemouth essentially had to do at Old Trafford because they're down to 10 men. Very, very hard to break them down. We've seen it with Liverpool, we've seen it with Burnley do it at home very well every week or every other week. When you've got an X-factor type player like Zlatan, who you rely upon to win you games, if he has an off day, then you can't win. And he did have an off day. He was, I think, Tyrone Mings did a good job in sort of taking his focus away. But I don't know if it's absolutely fair to completely hold Zlatan responsible for then not delivering when no one else is delivering.
I don't think anyone's necessarily doing that. Pogba, again, he had a chance late on that he scuffed, didn't he? And regardless of the price tag, your big players have to deliver in moments like that.
He wasn't particularly calm at that.
No, he wasn't, was he? He also he had a shot that went sort of just wide of the far post again, and like. Is it me, or does that happen to him in every single game they play? It seems like he just misses,
you know,
and he's quite unlucky.
I've noticed that when it comes to a certain passage of play with Pogba, particularly in the final third and when they're pushing for a goal, he seems to always look for a killer pass. You don't really see Pogba very often, like, just recycling possession. I know he's a different player to a Herrera or Carrick, but sometimes when, I don't know, it infuriates me, just as an individual, as a football fan, when you've got a team maybe 20 minutes from the end, they're chasing the game, and these players, and there's lots of examples of this in the past in the Premier League, they just look for this killer pass or they'll shoot.
And you're not going to get the run. You're not going to get the run that late in the game because people are knackered.
But what you also immediately do is you just relieve the pressure on the defence because they think, great, what's gone beyond for a goal kick? Now we can have another couple of minutes. Because Bournemouth were hugely time-wasting as well, you know, trying to run the clock down as you'd expect. So I think Pogba maybe needs to not try and go for the killer pass the whole time.
Absolutely. It was a great point for Bournemouth, though, as we said.
Fantastic. Really, really important for them to sort of stem the flow, essentially stem the bleeding. Because they were in not in free fall, but they were going only going
great result to build on. Also, there was a wonderful thing that you don't see very often that was in the post-match interview when Jason Tindall, the assistant manager for Bournemouth, came out. And I love this, when you see an assistant manager who's clearly not media-trained, because they're not in front of the cameras very much, and they're quite nervous, so they sort of rock back and forth or from side to side while they're giving their interview, and it's just really distracting to look at, and I love it, and I think we should see more of it.
Did they get sent to the stands?
I don't think so. I don't know why Eddie Howe didn't do the interview, but I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, Man United's 7th home draw this season. Not good enough. You would say.
Well, I think they're over-reliant on Zlatan, basically.
Are Swansea over-reliant on Paul Clement?
Well, that's, if you're going to be over-reliant on someone, the manager's a pretty good place to start, I guess. Yeah.
They have been blooming marvellous under him. He took over when they were bottom of the league. They're now 5 points from the relegation zone. They've won 5 out of 8. Since he took
a couple of those defeats have been against good teams.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah. But Llorente proved his value once again.
Oh, what a wonderful player to have when you're fighting relegation.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah, last gasp. And Paul Clement said he hadn't celebrated a goal like that with as much gusto since Sergio Ramos's equaliser for Real Madrid in the Champions League final.
Name dropping. You forget though, don't you?
Well, you know, when I was celebrating that equaliser.
Yeah.
there was probably a time at Bayern once or twice as well.
Yeah. But like, yeah,
the cosmopolitan Tim Sherwood.
I turned around to Carlo. I said I knew we'd get that. Cosmopolitan Tim Sherwood.
He is. He's like Tim Sherwood. He's been on to finishing school, basically. not football finishing school. Like, you know, traditional finishing school.
I know what you mean.
Llorente is just. I mean, I love watching Llorente play. He's a classic old type centre forward. He's got a great all round game. Mm-hmm.
Fouls a defender to get above him.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, a forward knows. It's like you've only got to get away with that once.
But do you think that was a foul maybe for the winning goal?
Well.
I tell you what, there was
on its own terms, yeah. Yes, but it happens all the time. I mean, Peter Crouch does that every single time he gets the ball in the penalty area. He goes up for a header. I mean,
he's found things harder in the last couple of seasons as well for that very reason as well.
It's also because he's getting old.
Kevin Friend,
never doubt the Crouchy.
Despite stag do antics and whatnot in Marbella, Kevin Friend did get the penalty decisions right. As fit as I, Anthony Taylor didn't get that one correct.
Yeah, and the worst thing about this, by the way. Just before we get into this, Sean Dyche complained about the referee after the game.
Did he, though? I don't think he did. Did he not defend him?
He wasn't very happy with the referee after the game.
He did defend about the stag do.
Yeah, we got given a penalty. Anthony Taylor's still pissed. Oh, penalties for everyone.
Pence.
One more pen.
Yeah. Martin Olsen scored at the near post again, didn't he? Loves doing that. Did it against Leicester as well.
Such a good signing for them.
Yeah, I think there's an argument he's the best signing of the window in terms of what he means to the team.
I was really pleased for them when they signed him. I think he's decent. I think he's better. As I said a number of times, he's better than his relegation record sort of dictates. That goal was a beauty. That flick from Sigurdsson was a goal of genuine quality.
Yeah.
And on the Llorente thing, I mean, he's an all-round forward. I mean, he's 32 now, I think. And he's only just 32, but he's 32. He literally has got a lot more left in the tank.
Yeah. That type of player.
And if you think of... And I understand it's because the relative quality of the other Sunderland players, but stick with me here. Everyone's talking about Jermaine Defoe and how many goals he scored. I think he's got 13 this season. Llorente's got 11 in the Premier League with I think 7 fewer starts. I think I'm right. The stats are similar to that at the very least. So he's having a fantastic season and his goals are essentially completely key to whether they stay up.
Well, didn't they have to warn Chelsea off him in the January transfer window? Yeah, there was talk, and you can see why.
It's a sort of short-term fix, and I think at the time they were having a few problems maybe with Diego Costa. Yeah. He could play that system very, very well.
He could. Mm. We've talked a bit about referees. Just before we go for a quick break, we've got to mention Clattenburg. He won't be refereeing in the FA Cup quarterfinals. He'll be in charge of the Crown Prince Cup final in Saudi Arabia. I love that. A quarterfinal or a final? More a man for a final, to be honest.
Can I get another tattoo? Yes. Can I get a tattoo of the quarterfinal? What do you get a tattoo of the bracket?
Crown Prince Cup final.
Yeah.
Put that on your arm.
Yeah.
Hey, there we are.
Have you got any more information about the Crown Prince Cup final, Marcus? Perhaps the teams involved or, you know, who's going for it?
I'll tell you at the break. I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. So now we're all au fait with the Crown Prince Cup final. That is absolutely wonderful.
I mean, we could edit that bit out. It might be boring.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe we should. It's a very revealing advert break, Marcus. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Absolutely. But, ladies and gentlemen, here's something for you, because that clearly wasn't. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram, where you can find us re-inducting entrance into the Dean Windus Hall of Fame every Tuesday. Instagram.com/TheFootballRamble.
Yeah, worth a check. For those of you who have missed out so far, but want to sign up soon, we've had Ian Wright and Ryan Giggs so far.
Yeah.
all full of lovely footage, everything.
Get following us, check out our stories, guys. Yeah, they look great.
Yeah.
Insta's all round.
I mean, don't go anywhere near some of Pete's stories, but the Football Ramble Instagram stories are safe.
They're very short and they always end the same way.
Let's call them work safe.
Well, Pete's going to read out some of your stories now with some emails.
I always forget the emails come so quickly.
Yeah.
Some so quick and so fast.
You've already read one out. You should have warmed yourself up.
I know. Hi, Ramble team. This is from Karen Kerr. Hello, Karen Kerr. As we've heard a lot about embarrassing dads, I thought I'd share a few highlights of my mother's football behaviour over the years.
Oh.
Background, she's from South Africa, a huge Tottenham fan, mainly due to the fact that Arsenal toured South Africa in the early 60s and created a load of Arsenal fans. So being contrary, she decided to support the rivals.
I like that.
Things that she has made me and my sister endure. She made a primary school age boy cry when she told him he couldn't come into my birthday party with an Arsenal shirt on. She did let him in, but I don't think he enjoyed the party. She pretends to fall over on the tube and knock off Arsenal hats.
Incredible.
She has stood at the top of the stairs at Wembley and accidentally tripped up opposing fans. They all stumbled, and when turning around and seeing this 5-foot woman, all apologised to her.
That's amazing.
That staircase is perilous. I know. It's about 50 steps.
If it was the escalator as well, you just keep on falling.
Oh, my goodness.
She delights in buying new underwear when we go to away games and then picks the youngest looking steward to search her bags to see how embarrassed she can make him.
Oh, my goodness.
And
this is top draw.
She saved up to travel around Europe and left 2 weeks earlier than planned to try and get a ticket to see Spurs play Feyenoord in the Netherlands in 74. She got a ticket, but the whole stand was kicked out after 15 minutes due to rioting. She swears she had nothing to do with it.
A likely story.
Yeah. Overall, she's a very cool footballing mother. She never swears or anything, but she does sometimes say things like, "You stupid man," at the referee.
She regularly assaults people.
Yeah. I was about to say,
she's
had a season ticket for 20 years.
She can swear head off. I'm not worried about that.
No. Wow.
Stop assaulting.
I was detecting a theme here. We've started talking about this for a while now. The mums are always worse than the dads.
Yeah.
The dads are quite bad, but in like a really sort of rubbish
way.
That's genuinely sinister.
What else you got, Peter?
My highlighter. Can we do a highlight of the week here?
Yeah, if you want, yeah, I don't mind. I don't run a tight
ship. The system's broken and Pete broke it.
Well, you don't look at the emails, so I can't help.
I don't know what I'm doing with the emails most of the time. Can I do a highlight of the week here? Do what you want, mate.
Well, check the emails. Yeah. If it says search for the word highlight and then put that in.
Pete, if you want to whack an absolute link in while you're here,
if you want to re-answer the opening question, go ahead.
What's coming up on D-Max, you prick?
Shows about Alaska.
Yeah.
My highlight of the week comes. This is Tom. My highlight of the week comes with the return of Major League Soccer to our screens. Whilst watching Orlando City versus New York, my attention was drawn to the chance from the American fans, which could only be described as somewhat of a camp upgrade on our traditional British classics.
This is brilliant.
I felt immediately compelled to share my two favourites with you. The first from Orlando City fans was NYCFC. You ain't got no history. Bit rich considering your old club was founded 6 months after them.
They're still right though, aren't they?
And the second came from the Orlando City fans.
Could I sing it?
If you want.
Go on.
Yeah. I think I'm right in saying it was, "Oh, bitch, get off the pitch. Get off the pitch."
Move, bitch, get off the pitch. Yeah.
Ludicrous.
He's in grey all over it.
Yeah.
The Orlando City, did you see the purple wall?
I haven't seen
They've
that.
They've got their fans, I think they're the colours.
Oh, they're going after the yellow wall, Dortmund yellow wall.
Right, yeah. Okay. A bit of the old the flares and the smoke and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah,
purple wall.
There was somebody by the name of Buddy who wants to basically rinse his friend. A load of Charlton fans went to Belgium for some kind of unity protest. Three. What are you doing that for?
He's putting his fingers up for the listeners at home.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
Putting two fingers up at a Ramble intern and all round busybody Joel,
who's in the room and
Charlton.
Yeah, well, yeah. Marcus, you should be a bit more accurate with your swear words, to be honest.
What do you mean a bit more accurate?
Yeah,
you look like you're swearing at me while I was doing the emails.
That's fine.
Two for the price of one. Yeah.
Which you do anyway, so don't worry
fire.
About it.
All right. Fingery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having a go at me for being unprofessional. He stops and queries what's going on.
Yeah. Anyway, so they all went over. 300 or so of us went over and made our voices heard loud and clear to Roland Duchatelet, that we want him out of our club. On top of this, a mate of mine managed to make a complete tit of himself on Belgian TV shouting, and I've watched this on YouTube, it's very funny. He shouted, instead of shouting we want Duchatelet out, "We want Charlton out!" Rather than "We want Roland out."
Damn!
He did it twice, that's what I like about it. He doubled down.
That is his chance.
Beautiful.
That was his chance.
Hashtag we want Charlton out. Thank you, buddy.
When I used to go to Fratton Park a bit more regularly and Harry Redknapp was the manager, they used to sing, it was when they were in the championship, they used to sing E-I-E-I-E-I-O, up the Football League we go. And the words are, "When we get promotion, this is what we'll sing. We are Portsmouth, Harry is our king." There's a guy I used to stand next to quite a lot. I used to say, "We are Portsmouth, Harry is our team." I felt I was saying to him, you know that doesn't make any sense.
That's sweet.
What are you doing?
Yes. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Peter.
What? Oh, you want, well, want some more?
No, we don't. I think
I've got one more.
Jake
says, I went to the pound shop on Pete's recommendation after the preview show on Friday. I didn't want anything in particular. I ended up getting a baking tray, some batteries, a big bag of garlic, tomato, bruschetta crisps, and four Kinder Buenos.
Okay. All of that for a pound.
That's a good deal, that.
Yeah. I also saw...
I'm annoyed about this. Now I'm impressed by his thriftiness.
I also saw a bandana dog leash. I just thought I'd let you know that I appreciate the recommendation.
Right. Can I just say, a little moratorium here, a little bit of time out. I'm happy for Pete to read the emails. I don't think he should be selecting them anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see Luke's face while that was going on.
You can imagine the home life of some of the people that email in. What are you doing? I'm emailing a football show I like. What are you emailing about? The pound shop.
Yeah.
It's demeaning.
Get involved.
Yeah, if Pete picks him, the Pete ones get through.
All the pound shops in Hartlepool have a picture. They used to be 50p shops, remember?
Yeah, I do.
50p shops.
Yeah.
One on Murray Street, lovely. Yeah. No, on every pound shop, they've got a big, massive picture of a policeman. You know those cut-out policemen they put in slightly rougher towns?
Is that the security?
We're watching you.
Yeah.
We're watching you, and we will
those
take you to court.
Those shops all used to have a model blind boy that you'd put a penny in
his head. Yeah, that's right.
In a big wound. In his head.
Yeah.
That's going to compound problems.
Oh. Remember those penny sweeks?
Must we go back to the Premier League chat?
No. Oh, yeah.
Remember those things you used to get on the bread that you used to put on your spokes?
Yeah, I'll remember all of it. Remember all of it, Peter.
You can't go back.
Speaking of the North East, Crank is in trouble, isn't he? Middlesbrough lost 2-0 away to Stoke.
Yeah, I think he's next favourite, if you're into all that sort of stuff. He's next favourite in the betting to be the favourite to leave his position as a manager in the Premier League. I don't think they word the market quite that long, as I just did, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Funny situation there, because he seems to be doggedly sticking to not wanting to score goals.
It's strange.
And he doesn't seem to acknowledge that the amount of mental pressure that puts his defence under is incredible.
Especially when they go one behind, which is what happened. Soon as that happened, I was like, meh.
But that defence, you know, statistically, has performed quite well, really.
I think if they even just change the balance a little bit, they would maybe even be better.
Playing seven at the back.
Can you imagine the defenders just going, can you just score one goal? Yeah. Just one goal.
We are doing our bit. Yeah. Constantly.
We're doing our bit for the most part.
Good news for Stoke, Jack Butland could make his return in the next few weeks.
That is a good news.
Shall we get on to Liverpool versus London? Spurs against Everton is the first one. Great win for Spurs. White Hart Lane is a fortress, ladies and gentlemen. They've set a club record in the Premier League. 9 league home games in a row, they've won. They haven't lost at home in the league this season. Only twice have they failed to win at White Hart Lane in all competitions this season, because the losses at home were in Europe, were in Wembley.
Yeah.
And the last time they failed to win at the Lane was a 1-1 draw with Leicester on the 29th of October. The other time was a 1-1 draw with Liverpool on the 27th of August.
Yeah, it's some run. It's a run worthy of respect. And I think you don't have to take my word for it. You can probably take Ronald Koeman's word for it, because he changed his team or changed his dynamic as well and his tactics to try and stifle Spurs. I think he thought, and rightly so, I mean, Everton are probably the form team in the Premier League going to this game, by the way.
They're more Swansea, yeah.
I think he thought, if I try and match this Spurs team, I think we're going to get beaten pretty heavily. So he set up with... did he have Idrissa Gueye and Schneiderlin and Gareth Barry? Brought Gareth Barry in, didn't he? Three in front of a back four. So he knew what he was trying to do.
Stifle midfield.
Which, by the way, if he carries on doing that, that's going to stop him getting the Barcelona job. So you should think about that as well.
Well, there was a mention about him linking into Arsenal as well.
Oh, was there? Okay.
Yeah.
But actually, what I was going to go on to say just quickly is, for the first 20 minutes or so, it sort of worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very, very dull opening exchange for the first sort of third of the game.
That's what you've got to do at White Hart Lane.
Then Kane scored that goal from nowhere. I mean, you can't really legislate for that. I think Keeper could have done a bit better. But when Kane got a player of that quality and that sort of form.
Such a great striker of the ball.
And you know, I was interested in what Christian Eriksen said after the game. I read an interview with him today and he said it really settled them down and it made them play a lot better. And after that, I think they battered Everton.
Kane looks the business, doesn't he?
People say he's not a world-class player. Like, he scored that many
goals.
Yeah,
you, last week. You were slating him last week. I was banging the drum for the lad. I was banging his drum.
Yeah, but
how dare you?
He just looks the part, doesn't he? The way he plays, the way he carries himself. He looks like a world beater. And let's hope that he can do that for England at some point in the next 10 years.
Isn't he the first player since Jimmy Greaves to get 20 goals for Spurs for 3 seasons in a row?
I read that on the Ramble Twitter feed. Don't know who tweeted it. It wasn't me.
Problem for Spurs is they're probably going to get points docked for that celebration.
Oh, good, bloody should do. Yeah.
Are they actually going to get point stocks?
Yes, Pete, they're going to get point stocks.
Oh, right. Sorry, this topsy-turvy world, it could be true.
I don't know where he is, Pete. You can't say anything.
I'm in the cavalry decision of sleeping from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. today.
When did you get back from China?
A week ago. Yeah, I don't know what's happened.
Shouldn't still be happening.
No, that's didn't know.
It's the sort of thing like someone's 60-year-old mum said when they go to Greece for a week. I just can't get used to it again. Get a grip of yourself.
I mean paella. Yeah. That's not even Greek. Shut up.
Race on Far East, Tom. That's why it goes out there so much.
When you get there for the first time, you're the opposite to people who go, oh, thank God for that. One of the things that fascinated me, I mean, well, the celebration after... The problem with the celebration is that...
A lot of pundits are over 30.
That's exactly right. So that's what I was going to say. So you can't really have a pop at a couple of mid-20s guys, or in Ali's case, he's a lot younger than that, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Doing whatever they do. I mean, it's not for us as old men to understand that. Yeah. But the worst thing was, the guy who did the post-match interview might have been Gary Thingy, who does Deadline Day. It was just so cringe because the producer had obviously said to him, right, oi, 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 ask him about the celebration. And he's like, I don't really want to. Ask him about the celebration. And he goes, so talk us through the celebration. Did you practice that one? And Dele Alli just looked at him like, oh God, this is like being at home with my parents.
I was on World News today, as I
did you have to talk about it?
I had to flip and do it. The presenter just went, oh well, here's the handshake. Oh, and I was sitting there going,
what you had to do? You had to. You were on
television.
You were on CNN and you had to do it.
Right, sorry,
did our producer just come in a shot and you did it with him?
Ask any question you want.
Right,
I was like Zach Morris, by the way.
Well, you sat backwards on a chair.
Oh. I had my baseball cap on backwards here.
Oh, was it the worst day of your professional life?
I tell you what, that's a big old choice.
You've been there before.
I need to know more about
this.
Wade
through the memories there.
Yeah.
But I thought that it showed that they all get on very well.
Yeah, well,
the thing is, they've been doing that celebration. That's not the first time.
No, but they've been honing it, haven't they? It's been sort of developing over
what's
the season.
What's it going to be at the end of the season?
Well, that's what
I mean,
a 5-minute
kind of...
Like,
absolutely, their winning record.
I'm not saying we're doing this, but we shouldn't fall into the trap of being old and go, oh, look at those young people, and like laughing at them.
There's, yeah, but we weren't, though.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why the Sky Sports guy...
I was trying to be like him.
It was just the most cringeworthy thing of the season, like, for me. I was really interested in quite a cool little graphic that Sky Sports had before the game. Did you guys see it? How similar Harry Kane and Romelu Lukaku's stats are for their entire career.
Yeah, strange,
I couldn't believe how close they were. And obviously the difference being that, I mean, they're different players, of
and
course.
And people say that Romelu Lukaku isn't world class. Me last week.
I can't. I've never heard of him.
Pete, who is world class?
Yeah. Not including the people in this room.
Are you that thing you did on CNN.
Yeah, you think that's good? Okay, fair enough.
That was a bit rich. A lot of people going, oh, he's the best English striker since Gary Lineker. I was like, you realise I'm on the Ramble Twitter page today?
Yeah, I think people probably did realise.
They got you.
The torrent of animated GIFs of Alan Shearer kept going their way, yeah.
How about this for something slightly different? Ronald Koeman, a brewery in Barcelona, has brought out a beer for the 25th anniversary of the 1992 Barcelona Dream Team European Cup win. The beer is called the Golden Koeman Beer.
Got a name.
I wonder what beer we're going to be drinking at your wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is beer at your wedding, right?
Free bar, brother. Free bra.
Free bra.
I'm back on CNN again. I want to move on to Liverpool as well.
Free bra.
Was the wedding good? Yeah, you're free bra. You have a beer.
The bride's
it was confusing, but it was a brilliant day. Yeah. It was a lovely day.
I got the stag do of the wedding mixed up. I had Andy Taylor there to officiate it.
Please have brought my backpack. Full of bras, by the end of
it. It's the embarrassing mum again. Back full of bras.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
I thought you were going to give us a little bit of chat about Everton, your pet team at the moment.
Yeah. We can do if you want. It was a shame for them because they gave a decent account of themselves.
I thought they got battered.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I enjoyed the scoreline was mad, given how the game went.
I said that to you on WhatsApp when we were watching the game.
The last five minutes was mad, though, wasn't it? It was like, what's just happened there?
I'll be honest, I'm obviously not a Spurs fan. It was 2-1 at the time. I would have loved it more if Everton had got the other end and scored an equaliser. But I loved it when Harry Winks clicked that ball in for Ali for the third.
It was a nice finish as well.
9 times out of 10, they're taking that to the corner, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which is a bit boring. I don't really like seeing that. So I particularly enjoyed that.
Indeed. Liverpool, they beat Arsenal 3-1. And the big Veng's having trouble with Sanchez, Jim.
Yeah, he is. Arsenal, it's just... They have become like the football equivalent of Last of the Summer Wine, haven't they? Every season is just old man falls downhill, and it's been going on forever, just for so long.
Not in a bathtub.
I think Wenger's getting confused about the bin day, about everything. He's wrestling with the recycling. It's probably a new recycling
bin. Oh, God,
bin.
I've taken Alexis Sanchez out and put him in the recycling bin. I need him.
Did you see what Sanchez put on Instagram?
Yeah.
About the true warrior fights because he loves those behind him. Take on the quote of English writer G.K. Chesterton.
Yeah, I saw that.
Field, isn't it?
He's
been fed that line, I think.
Yeah, I reckon.
A lovely line, though.
Joey Barton style.
When he left Sanchez out, you know what it reminded me of? And it might be Wild of the Marquee, and I'm happy to be criticised.
Hullet and Shearer.
It did remind me of that.
Right.
I thought
a couple of papers picked up on that.
You're scratching around for someone to blame, and you want to make an example of someone. Why are you picking Alexis Sanchez? Why pick? We don't know what's happened behind the scenes. I mean, Wenger, as he would do, has said that, you know, there's not been a bust up or anything like that. But why would you pick the player who's so much better than anyone else? And not only that, why would you put him on the bench?
Do you not think?
Why would you drop him?
Because you don't have the courage of your convictions, and you're a bit scared you're going to get absolutely bummed.
Yeah. And he had to sort of go back on that conviction and try and rectify it by bringing Sanchez on. And he obviously set up Danny Welbeck's goal as well. But Wenger's official reason that he put forward was that he dropped Sanchez to sort of effectively go long and bypass Liverpool's midfield, which is why he started with Giroud. But what does that say about Arsenal's midfield? Like, I don't think our midfield's good enough, really. So we're just gonna try and cut them out completely.
Play Sanchez on the wing then. He's better than play him at centre back. Like, he's better than any player on that
team. Also, I mean, if someone had. I mean, I don't want to get too. I don't want to get personal about Wenger because he's a great servant to Arsenal and a fantastic manager and all that other stuff. But I'll tell you something now. 10 years ago. If an opposite manager said that about Arsene Wenger's team, playing against Arsene Wenger's team, Wenger would have been very sneery about that, at the very least. And just the final point I want to make was, another bit of evidence that Wenger is sort of really struggling here and sort of scratching around, is that if you've not watched Liverpool all season, surely you've seen them and how difficult they find it defending against the counter-attack.
Yeah.
Alexis Sanchez, Danny Welbeck, Alex Iwobi, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. These are fast players who can punish a team who is susceptible to the counter-attack. Show how to frustrate Liverpool, frustrate them, because that's the best way you can get out of them, and hit them on the counter-attack. Mm. And it's not an asset for Arsene Wenger to continually stick to this really quite expansive system, despite what he says, and not have any adjustability in his tactics at all.
Just hit it long. He's massive. Hit it long.
Yeah. Part of the problem with that, though, is that Arsenal's midfield genuinely doesn't seem to work, whatever combination it's in. And that means you don't have that basis of which to actually build from and you know, play on the counter like that. So look lost. The team don't have a clear playing style, do they?
I don't want to simplify it too much, because obviously it's a little more to it than that. But there's absolutely no reason to my mind where they can't play. They couldn't have played a back four. They could have played Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in that holding midfield, where he's looked quite good. Mm. They could have played Sanchez instead of Iwobi behind Giroud and Welbeck out on the wing to threaten with pace. Mm. And just tuck in when Liverpool get the ball and then batter them on the break. And Liverpool are very susceptible to that, and they've shown time and time again they are.
But Liverpool's press was just too much for Arsenal, because just Liverpool wanted it more, clearly.
They played into Liverpool's hands. Massive.
Bayern next for Arsenal this week, of course.
They'll probably win that.
But they win 3-0 probably. Wenger said that Arsenal are the best club in the world, so things could be a lot worse.
I mean, that's just words, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
How do I get out of this? it's like the football equipment chucking a cat on the table.
Indeed, we're going to talk more.
Sorry, what? Is that what somebody does?
No, it's like an old political sort of thing. You say to completely discombobulate the opposition, chuck a cat on the table. It's like a metaphor for just blinding them with mental stuff.
Like a tradition in the Moore family.
That's what I do.
Yeah, we do it a bit, mostly at Christmas.
We're going to talk more about throwing animals and football after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Louis van Gaal, you got management master, the king amongst men, you big bald bastard.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show is out this Friday. Of course, it's sponsored by Bet365. And our man who did the bet of the week is not in the hot seat anymore, as you said earlier, Luke.
It's already been mentioned. Ed Gibson, never darken our internet door again, please.
He did right.
He did very well.
He did better than anyone's ever done.
Yeah. No, he got one right, and the guy before him got one right. So he's joint top.
I thought he got two right. Sorry.
He's joint top with one.
I thought he got two.
Like most of the Sunderland team, he's got one. Yeah. No, he got one.
Some of the Sunderland team.
He's had his one.
Oh yeah. So we need a new better the week suggestion. So fire them into the email, and we'll take a look. Oh, I'll take a look because Pete can't be trusted.
Well, I can't be trusted. You usually can't do the highlights of the week from the email.
No. I need an order in my life.
Careful.
Remember, at the moment, Pete's
put it in the right
down.
Hole.
So if you say Pete can't be trusted, then you're opening a can of worms.
I think Pete's opened every can of worms that's ever existed in this show.
That's where I keep my things.
If anything, he's running out of cans.
And then he puts all the worms back in different cans, and then he reopens them again.
Yeah, that's a little terminal goal. Look at that.
That's strangely accurate to how this show works. Yeah.
Don't like any worms.
Indeed, yeah. Let's go quickly to the Championship. Newcastle, a great win, huge win away to Huddersfield. They're five points clear of Brighton, Peter. You must be loving it. You've already packed your Premier League bags, presumably.
Well, are you going to the Madejski on Tuesday?
No, I'm actually going to go watch them play Fulham on Saturday.
Because they go to the Madejski on Tuesday night, very, very difficult.
They're doing an old school beam back, which I quite like. Because it's not on television, so they're beaming it back to St James's Park or somewhere near St James's
beam
Park.
Beam back.
Yeah, they'll get,
beam
they'll
back.
Get it the next day.
Putting it on
beam
telly.
Back.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's not on telly. It's not on international telly. So the club have organised a beam back, where they beam back.
You just said it louder.
The footage.
Really aggressively.
To the
like
home
it.
Team. Hey, you're ground.
You're assuming a lot of technical knowledge that other human beings don't necessarily have.
Yeah. They're beaming back.
It's the same thing again.
They're basically using an internal television stream and taking it and broadcasting it in Newcastle.
And how are they doing that? How are they getting the signal?
Probably satellites, I imagine, to be honest.
Are you going to that?
No.
Why are you mentioning it then?
I just want access to it. Someone hook me up?
So I want to make a semi-serious point that Marcus particularly is very effusive about Newcastle's huge win, but Reading have got a very, very good home record. Tomorrow night they play there, and Reading's home record is better than Newcastle's.
Brighton are just having a bit of a stinker at the moment.
They really are. David Stockdale in particular. Did you see that? Effectively doing kick-ups, didn't he?
Yeah. Against Forest as well. It was a real confusion. It wasn't clear with the first Forest goal. It was either Sommelonga or Clough. The Sky reported it, two different players, about three or four times. And I'm still not sure who did it. Definite dubious goals panel there.
I mean, off the pitch, Forest are an absolute shambles.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see how good their record is at home. I mean, they're actually quite decent. They've got by far the best record in the bottom half of the Championship at home. So,
do you remember a few years ago, we always used to talk about the Reading surge, when Reading would surge up the league and try and get a playoff spot, and often they would.
They're doing it now.
They are doing it now.
They're fifth, aren't they?
I think, Reading are going very well indeed. They're right up there. But I think the team that comes from, well, not nowhere, of course. You can't be nowhere and then end up in the playoffs. I think Fulham could be that. They're getting themselves together at the right time.
I don't like doing the old cliche. It makes me cringe a little bit, but I've said it a few times over the last few weeks. I do genuinely believe it's the case. It's the momentum thing is so important.
It's
important when you come out of potentially being relegated from the Premier League, but also going up the Championship. Fulham, what are they? A few points, 4 or 5 points behind with the game in hand?
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're playing Leeds this week. They're playing Leeds. Leeds got a good win As well. But the big story in the Championship, come on, was David Nugent was the difference once again.
He scored his first goal for Derby. That'll be up there for career highlights with him, like, being unveiled as a Pompey player alongside John Yutaka.
Oh, nice.
Which is something that actually happened.
Ah, yesterday.
Didn't John Yutaka cost about 16 million quid as well? Some huge fee.
I can't remember the transfer fee, but the
that was his weekly wage.
No, the accepted fact at the time was he was being paid more than Cesc Fabregas.
That's fantastic.
I thought he was on 70 grand a week.
It was something like that, yeah. Mm. Something like that.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. Money well spent.
I mean, as you can probably tell, I don't really want to talk about it.
No repercussions, that kind of overspending, of course. Speaking of which, let's go to the Chinese Super League. Carlos Tevez scored on his Super League debut as Shanghai Shenhua won 4-0 against last season's champions, Guangzhou. Gus Poyet was very pleased with the win. He said, they know what we're about now because they beat the last season's champions 4-0.
Last I heard about Gus Poyet, and obviously details around the Chinese Super League are sketchy, chiefly because I'm not that interested.
Yeah.
Is that Poyet was almost under pressure after the first game he had because they almost, I don't think they qualified for the Asian Champions League. Well, they were very close to not qualifying because they lost to Brisbane.
Okay.
So clearly they've bounced back.
Yeah.
With one match.
Any Chinese football noise?
I saw a couple of pictures from the first weekend and the attendances weren't great.
No, okay.
So high fives all around for that.
China is where the game originated from, right? 2,000, 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
I can imagine Pete dancing down a Chinese boulevard, bare feet. Kicking a straw. What's that? What are the balls made of then, Jim? Like a straw thing, or like a balled up sort of rag?
It's all in the football ramble book.
Yeah, it's all in the
book.
Some traditions, I think in Brazil and stuff, it'll be like a sock stuffed with papers or something like that.
It's called kuju.
What I mean is Pete's got a look of the old sort of... You know, you see like the world's oldest photograph, whatever, from like 1830. Yeah,
they look like Pete.
Don't they?
Everyone looks like me.
When I was
in China, I came back to about 50 tweets of, look, Pete is playing for Man City. Look, Pete is in Homeland. Look, Pete is that man out of Teabag Prison Break.
All these people
Pete's trying to get into my house.
Sorry, that is actually Pete.
Yeah.
Is it annoy you that they're all more successful than you?
Yeah.
No one ever says, look at that homeless man, it looks like Pete.
Effectively, does that mean you're the worst man in your genre of man?
Mm. Yeah.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't even know what my genre is.
Wurzel Gummidge.
Yeah, I got told a lot of Wurzel Gummidge, and I used to get told a lot of Colin Montgomery. So
Honey Monster.
Yeah.
Colin Montgomery.
And the Honey Monster, I get that one.
Somebody once described you as a burst horsehair sofa, which I quite
like. That was you!
That was me.
Oh, sorry. Some witch.
Some wag.
Was it Oscar Wilde?
Yeah.
He started doing an Alan Shearer celebration as he said that. Somebody said that.
Look, I lose track of my brilliance.
Allow me.
I lose track of my brilliance. There we go.
The best thing I ever heard was when someone just, it was me, was it?
I can't remember so many brilliant things, I lose track of it. Yeah. Perfectly honest with you. Diego Maradona.
Yeah.
He's been offered a huge deal to come out and go to China and help grow football in schools around the country there.
That
can't end badly.
Maradona in schools! Yes. It'd be like a Deftones video, Back to School, where Chino Moreno's just standing on the jet tables.
Yeah, just wreaking havoc.
You can pay him, but he ain't growing shit.
I love as well that this has come through his lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that he basically has a lawyer instead of an agent, because just quicker.
Exactly.
He might as well be the same guy.
He's not CBT checked.
Are you a lawyer? Yeah. I mean, can you do agent work as well? Which is essentially just answering the phone. Yeah, fine, I'll do that as well.
Who's this for? Diego Maradona? Oh, right, okay. I'm going to need another 5-year study. Yeah. The lawyer said that the talks are more than advanced for this deal.
Okay.
So if they're more than advanced, surely they're done.
Yeah, well, you would think. They're just about done. They need to get out the contract from Dubai because China's come along. Basically, go where the next sort of big pot of cash is. And that's sort of fair enough, isn't it?
A lot of the things Diego Maradona's done are dreadful. I haven't got time to go into that. But he's arguably the greatest player the world's ever seen. Yeah. I mean, if a man can't make a pound note and he's retired, what's the world coming to? You know what I mean?
Well,
he shouldn't have to travel that far.
No, but his work ethic isn't brilliant.
John Utaka's earned more in his playing career than Maradona did, probably.
No, but come on, that's different. You know, that's the sign of it.
Doesn't seem different.
That's a sign of the
times.
Stop
having a go at John Utaka.
That's his fault.
Listen, if he played for Newcastle, fair enough, he'd be in a sea of players.
We've had all the same.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't even break the top 10. For Pompey, he's the Nadir. The absolute Nadir.
He's like Emre level.
Yeah, he really would be.
Albert Luque.
Imagine the state of the club that you support is that John Utaka would just be just another player.
Should we go to the highlights of the week?
Yes, we shall.
Weekend.
The highlights of the weekend. I'm going to start off with this one. It's an email, actually, Peter, so up yours.
Oh, sorry. Must have missed this one.
Yeah.
Egg on my face.
Stealing material off each other. Content, rather.
That hot air surface talking again.
Yeah, I found a pound coin down the back of it. Do you want it?
Yeah. Luke, would you like to respond to a third of the world's population?
No, because this is no, because this is my section, Marcus, and I don't need to. Okay. This is from Taylor Wilson, who emails in and gets into contact quite regularly. But this one particularly, I couldn't go by without including it. He says, "My highlight of the week has been the inevitable and typical goings on at Fratton Park." Taylor's a Pompey fan. He says, "After a 3-0 win over Carlisle that saw automatic promotion getting closer, Pompey drew 1-0 with Morecambe and then lost at home to Crewe at the weekend, which was so infuriating, I can't tell you. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, his highlight of the last week or so is a Southampton fan." Uh-huh. I don't know if you guys saw this. In the game against Morecambe last Tuesday, a Southampton fan, halfway through, I think, the first half, stood up in the middle of the Fratton end, pulled his jacket off, had a Southampton polo shirt on, and started screaming, "There's only one team in Hampshire, only one team in Hampshire."
Oh, my God.
Right.
You wear the full kit.
He then began to swing a Southampton flag around his head.
Where did he get that from?
The stewards piled in and grabbed him.
Yeah.
A couple of people were throwing it. There's a bit of amateur video footage of it. Mm. A few people throwing a few big swinging haymakers at him, as you'd expect. I obviously don't condone that, but it's obviously going to happen. Apparently then, according to Freddie Webber, who also got in touch, he was mobbed by the supporters and ejected by the stewards. He never got his scarf back, which was then ritually burned at half time by all the Portsmouth fans.
Wonderful.
Imagine doing that.
Imagine allowing them to burn a scarf.
He's
mugged us off. Right, we've got to do something.
Cheers to Taylor and for Freddie for getting in touch with that. Here we go. Let's get back into the more traditional highlights. Pete, this is one for you, mate, so you might want to get involved here. I mean, this is genuinely worrying for you. So, okay. I mean,
far away.
Craig Tompkinson says, "My highlight the last week was hearing Pete threaten to flatten, in quotes, my good friend Barry Williams on Friday's show."
I don't remember that.
Right, this is your problem, pal.
Well, you don't remember all your brilliance, do you?
Yeah.
I throw so many out.
According to Craig, the truth is, while I imagine that Pete has a Moyes-esque, wiry, never-say-die fighting quality, well, he doesn't. He's small. Barry is an actual unit. This is not just a polite way of saying he's a bit fat sort of unit, more, is that a man or a walking refrigerator sort of unit? It's a beef that I personally would like to see run. So just to keep things moving, Pete, Barry also said he thinks Sir Les Ferdinand is a big daft twat.
Right. Right.
Hashtag Ramble Fight Club. It's on.
Yeah. I was annoyed that Twitter doesn't have any Les Ferdinand animated GIFs.
Now, don't change the subject, because I'm going to finish off this by saying,
okay.
Craig, get your mate Barry along to a Lex Live
show. Fridgey.
We will not stand in your way.
No, I don't even remember threatening to flatten this guy.
Well, Charlie Platt says, while Moyes took the Sunderland players on a team-building trip to New York, obviously didn't work, Felix Magath forced his Shandong Luheng team to climb a mountain totaling 1,553 metres in order to build morale. Still doing it.
Right, he's got a cattle prod. Just come on, you're going up there.
I like to think he's found his area, let's say, in the world.
Thanks for that, Charlie. This is a good one from Aaron McAleese. Aaron says, my highlight is Brendan Rodgers having consistent digs in the Scottish Premiership. This is a direct quote from Brendan Rodgers, apparently. St Mirren are at the bottom of the Championship, but they are the best team we've played domestically this season.
Oh.
What a dig. What a dig.
My goodness.
Ben Bennett, a former Premier League referee, has opened up about his experiences on the field, but agreed only to do so under the cover of anonymity. This is a quote from it. I remember sending John Terry off in a game versus Man City, and he knocked on my dressing room door after the game. Don't join MI5, Mark Halsey. And I'll finish off with Matt
Hines. The secret referee.
Yeah, I'll finish off with Matt Hines. He says, my heart though, it was going to watch my beloved Exeter City play away at Crawley. I happened to tell someone that I actually only lived down the road in sunny Surrey and was accused instantly of being a Glory supporter.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We've got to mention a highlight. It was Sam Clucas's goal against Leicester, meant that he's now scored in each of England's top five leagues in just five seasons.
That's a great stat.
But another thing, you hear about the Real Madrid players having a team meeting ahead of their match. I think it was on Friday they had this.
Right.
And when they were expressing some opinions. And people were saying that Ronaldo, you know, when we win, he wins. And when we lose, he has a go at everybody. And we're having a go at Ronaldo being a bit selfish. And Sergio Ramos jumped in and defended him and said, here we all have to defend and run. The only one who doesn't have to run is Cristiano because he gets 60 goals.
I sort of think
that's one of those annoying ones where you think,
no, it's fair.
It's one rule for you and one. Oh, but I see one.
But Marcus, it's fair. But Cristiano, I'll just add to it by saying Cristiano Ronaldo should want to run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he runs the show,
his,
really.
Yeah. Efficiency is, you know. My highlight of the week was Dries Mertens. Did you see that? He scored a goal for Napoli. And he celebrated by cocking his leg on the corner flag. No actual wee. but just bizarre.
Reminiscent of the famous Nigerian celebration back in the 90s. 94, was it? 94?
It was 94, yeah.
Speaking of Napoli, by the way, did you see Pepe Reina say it?
Unbelievable.
It's one of the best sides I've ever seen.
I'm going to check that out.
It kept them in the game as well, didn't they?
It was late on as well. They were 2-0 up.
Big win. Big win against
Roma. I'll describe it for you really briefly. Someone has a shot from just outside the area, and Reina's fully going one way.
Yeah.
It hits the defender, loops up, and it's going in the top corner.
Right.
He changes his weight, claws it out. It's behind him. It's like it's behind him to the extent of that Seaman save at Wembley that time. He claws it right at the top corner, pushes it onto the bar, and then uses his feet to clear it away.
It's amazing.
It's well worth checking
and
out.
And there's a player bearing down on him when he clears it.
Fantastic.
As well. So much to do.
Could Liverpool do with him?
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe so. Any more for any more? I think we're done, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget the preview show out this Friday. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Don't forget Instagram. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say
goodbye.
Goodbye, Peter.
Follow us.
And goodbye from me.
Barry says, I came into work dressed as Pete, an author, for World Book Day, but security confiscated my shirt as it was offensive.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Good. Well, I'm going to flatten him and he'll be Flat Stanley.
Stop threatening people.